want everyone to come together, sound a different signal on the trumpet. The priests of Aaron's family will be the ones to blow the trumpets, and this law will never change. Whenever you go into battle against an enemy attacking your land, give a warning signal on the trumpets. Then I, the Lord, will hear it and rescue you. During the celebration of the New Moon Festival and other religious festivals, sound the trumpets while you offer sacrifices. This will be a reminder that I am the Lord your God. The Israelites begin their journey. On the 20th day of the second month of that same year, the cloud over the sacred tent moved on. So the Israelites broke camp and left the Sinai Desert. And sometime later, the cloud stopped in the Paran Desert. This was the first time the Lord had told Moses to command the people of Israel to move on. Judah and the tribes that camped alongside it marched out first, carrying their banner. Nahshon, son of Amminadab, was the leader of the Judah tribe. Nethanel, son of Zuar, was the leader of the Issachar tribe, and Eliab, son of Helon, was the leader of the Zebulun tribe. The sacred tent had been taken down, and the Gershonites and the Merarites carried it, marching behind the Judah camp. Reuben and the tribes that camped alongside it marched out second, carrying their banner. Eliezer, son of Shedeur, was the leader of the Reuben tribe. Shelumiel, son of Zurishaddai, was the leader of the Simeon tribe. And Eliasaph, son of Deuel, was the leader of the Gad tribe. Next were the Kohathites, carrying the objects for the sacred tent, which was to be set up before they arrived at the new camp. Ephraim and the tribes that camped alongside it marched next, carrying their banner. Elishama, son of Ammihud, was the leader of the Ephraim tribe. Gamaliel, son of Pedhazer, was the leader of the Manasseh tribe. And Abidan, son of Gideoni, was the leader of the Benjamin tribe. Dan and the tribes that camped alongside it were to protect the Israelites against an attack from behind, and so they marched last, carrying their banner. Ahiezer, son of Amishaddai, was the leader of the tribe of Dan. Pagiel, son of Ochran, was the leader of the Asher tribe. And Ahira, son of Enan, was the leader of the Naphtali tribe. This was the order in which the Israelites marched each time they moved their camp. Hobab, the Midianite, the father-in-law of Moses, was there, and Moses said to him, "We are leaving for the place the Lord has promised us. He has said that all will go well for us. So come along, and we will make sure that all goes well for you." "No, I won't go," Hobab answered. "I'm returning home to be with my own people." "Please go with us," Moses said. "You can be our guide because you know the places to camp in the desert. Besides that, if you go, we will give you a share of the good things the Lord gives us." The people of Israel began their journey from Mount Sinai. They traveled 3 days, and the Levites who carried the sacred chest led the way, so the Lord could show them where to camp. And the cloud always stayed with them. Each day, as the Israelites began their journey, Moses would pray, "Our Lord, defeat your enemies and make them run." And when they stopped to set up camp, he would pray, "Our Lord, stay close to Israel's thousands and thousands of people." The Israelites complain. Chapter 11. One day the Israelites started complaining about their troubles. The Lord heard them and became so angry that he destroyed the outer edges of their camp with fire. When the people begged Moses to help, he prayed, and the fire went out. They named the place Burning, because in his anger the Lord had set their camp on fire. The people grumble about being hungry. One day, some worthless foreigners among the Israelites became greedy for food, and even the Israelites themselves began moaning, "We don't have any meat. In Egypt, we could eat all the fish we wanted, and there were cucumbers, melons, onions, and garlic. But we are starving out here, and the only food we have is this manna." The manna was like small, whitish seeds, and tasted like something baked with sweet olive oil. It appeared at night with the dew. In the morning, the people would collect the manna, grind or crush it into flour, then boil it and make it into thin wafers. The Israelites stood around their tents complaining. Moses heard them and was upset that they had made the Lord angry. He prayed, "I am your servant, Lord, so why are you doing this to me? What have I done to deserve this? You've made me responsible for all these people, but they're not my children. You told me to nurse them along and to carry them to the land you promised their ancestors. They keep whining for meat, but where can I get meat for them? This job is too much for me. How can I take care of all these people by myself? If this is the way you're going to treat me, just kill me now and end my miserable life." 70 leaders are chosen to help Moses. The Lord said to Moses, "Choose 70 of Israel's respected leaders and go with them to the sacred tent. While I am talking with you there, I will give them some of your authority, so they can share responsibility for my people. You will no longer have to care for them by yourself. As for the Israelites, I have heard them complaining about not having meat and about being better off in Egypt. So tell them to make themselves acceptable to me, because tomorrow they will have meat. In fact, they will have meat day after day for a whole month, not just a few days or even 10 or 20. They turned against me and wanted to return to Egypt. Now they will eat meat until they get sick of it." Moses replied, "At least 600,000 grown men are here with me. How can you say there will be enough meat to feed them and their families for a whole month? Even if we butchered all of our sheep and cattle, or caught every fish in the sea, we wouldn't have enough to feed them." The Lord answered, "I can do anything. Watch, and you'll see my words come true." Moses told the people what the Lord had said. Then he chose 70 respected leaders and went with them to the sacred tent. While the leaders stood in a circle around the tent, Moses went inside, and the Lord spoke with him. Then the Lord took some authority from Moses and gave it to the 70 leaders. And when the Lord's Spirit took control of them, they started shouting like prophets. But they did it only this one time. Eldad and Medad were two leaders who had not gone to the tent. But when the Spirit took control of them, they began shouting like prophets right there in camp. A boy ran to Moses and told him about Eldad and Medad. Joshua was there helping Moses, as he had done since he was young. And he said to Moses, "Sir, you must stop them." But Moses replied, "Are you concerned what this might do to me? I wish the Lord would give his Spirit to all his people, so everyone could be a prophet." Then Moses and the 70 leaders went back to camp. The Lord sends quails. Sometime later, the Lord sent a strong wind that blew quails in from the sea until Israel's camp was completely surrounded with birds, piled up about 3 feet high for miles in every direction. The people picked up quails for 2 days. Each person filled at least 50 bushels. Then they spread them out to dry. But before the meat could be eaten, the Lord became angry and sent a disease through the camp. After they had buried the people who had been so greedy for meat, they called the place Graves for the Greedy. Israel then broke camp and traveled to Hazeroth. Miriam and Aaron are jealous of Moses. Chapter 12. Although Moses was the most humble person in all the world, Miriam and Aaron started complaining. Moses had no right to marry that woman from Ethiopia. Who does he think he is? The Lord has spoken to us, not just to him. The Lord heard their complaint and told Moses, Aaron, and Miriam to come to the entrance of the sacred tent. There the Lord appeared in a cloud and told Aaron and Miriam to come closer. Then, after commanding them to listen carefully, he said, I, the Lord, speak to prophets in visions and dreams. But my servant Moses is the leader of my people. He sees me face to face, and everything I say to him is perfectly clear. You have no right to criticize my servant Moses. The Lord became angry at Aaron and Miriam, and after the Lord left and the cloud disappeared from over the sacred tent, Miriam's skin turned white with leprosy. When Aaron saw what had happened to her, he said to Moses, Sir, please don't punish us for doing such a foolish thing. Don't let Miriam's flesh rot away like a child born dead. Moses prayed, Lord God, please heal her. But the Lord replied, Miriam would be disgraced for 7 days if her father had punished her by spitting in her face. So make her stay outside the camp for 7 days before coming back. The people of Israel did not move their camp until Miriam returned 7 days later. Then they left Hazeroth and set up camp in the Paran Desert. 12 men are sent into Canaan. Chapter 13. The Lord said to Moses, Choose a leader from each tribe and send them into Canaan to explore the land I am giving you. So Moses sent 12 tribal leaders from Israel's camp in the Paran Desert with orders to explore the land of Canaan. And here are their names. Shammua, son of Zachar, from Reuben. Shaphat, son of Hori, from Simeon, Caleb, son of Jephunneh, from Judah, Igal, son of Joseph, from Issachar, Joshua, son of Nun, from Ephraim, Paltai, son of Rephu, from Benjamin, Gadiel, son of Sodai, from Zebulun, Gadai, son of Susai, from Manasseh, Amiel, son of Gemali, from Dan, Sether, son of Michael, from Asher, Nabai, son of Vophsi, from Naphtali, and Geuel, son of Machi, from Gad. Before Moses sent them into Canaan, he said, After you go through the southern desert of Canaan, continue north into the hill country, and find out what those regions are like. Be sure to remember how many people live there, how strong they are, and if they live in open towns or walled cities. See if the land is good for growing crops, and find out what kinds of trees grow there. It's time for grapes to ripen, so try to bring back some of the fruit that grows there. The 12 men left to explore Canaan from the Zin Desert in the south all the way to the town of Rehob near Lebo Hamath in the north. As they went through the southern desert, they came to the town of Hebron, which was 7 years older than the Egyptian town of Zoan. In Hebron, they saw the 3 Anakim clans of Ahiman, Shishai, and Talmai. When they got to Bunch Valley, they cut off a branch with such a huge bunch of grapes that it took two men to carry it on a pole. That's why the place was called Bunch Valley. Along with the grapes, they also took back pomegranates and figs. The men report back to the people. After exploring the land of Canaan 40 days, the 12 men returned to Kadesh in the Paran Desert and told Moses, Aaron, and the people what they had seen. They showed them the fruit and said, "Look at this fruit! The land we explored is rich with milk and honey. But the people who live there are strong, and their cities are large and walled. We even saw the 3 Anakim clans. Besides that, the Amalekites live in the southern desert. The Hittites, Jebusites, and Amorites are in the hill country. And the Canaanites live along the Mediterranean Sea and the Jordan River." Caleb calmed down the crowd and said, "Let's go and take the land. I know we can do it." But the other men replied, "Those people are much too strong for us." Then they started spreading rumors and saying, "We won't be able to grow anything in that soil, and the people are like giants. In fact, we saw the Nephilim, who are the ancestors of the Anakim. They were so big that we felt as small as grasshoppers." The Israelites rebel against Moses. Chapter 14. After the Israelites heard the report from the 12 men who had explored Canaan, the people cried all night and complained to Moses and Aaron, "We wish we had died in Egypt or somewhere out here in the desert. Is the Lord leading us into Canaan just to have us killed and our women and children captured? We'd be better off in Egypt." Then they said to one another, "Let's choose our own leader and go back." Moses and Aaron bowed down to pray in front of the crowd. Joshua and Caleb tore their clothes in sorrow and said, "We saw the land ourselves, and it's very good. If we obey the Lord, he will surely give us that land rich with milk and honey. So don't rebel. We have no reason to be afraid of the people who live there. The Lord is on our side, and they won't stand a chance against us." The crowd threatened to stone Moses and Aaron to death. But just then, the Lord appeared in a cloud at the sacred tent. Moses prays for the people. The Lord said to Moses, "I have done great things for these people, and they still reject me by refusing to believe in my power. So they will no longer be my people. I will destroy them, but I will make you the ancestor of a nation even stronger than theirs." Moses replied, "With your mighty power, you rescued your people from Egypt, so please don't destroy us here in the desert. If you do, the Egyptians will hear about it and tell the people of Canaan. Those Canaanites already know that we are your people and that we see you face to face. And they have heard how you lead us with a thick cloud during the day and flaming fire at night. But if you kill us, they will claim it was because you weren't powerful enough to lead us into Canaan as you promised. Show us your great power, Lord. You promised that you love to show mercy and kindness, and you said that you are very patient, but that you will punish everyone guilty of doing wrong. Not only them, but their children and grandchildren as well. You are merciful, and you treat people better than they deserve. So please forgive these people, just as you have forgiven them ever since they left Egypt." Then the Lord said to Moses, "In answer to your prayer, I do forgive them. But as surely as I live and my power has no limit, I swear that not one of these Israelites will enter the land I promised to give their ancestors. These people have seen my power in Egypt and in the desert, but they will never see Canaan. They have disobeyed and tested me too many times. But my servant Caleb isn't like the others. So because he has faith in me, I will allow him to cross into Canaan, and his descendants will settle there. Now listen, Moses. The Amalekites and the Canaanites live in the valleys of Canaan, and tomorrow morning you'll need to turn around and head back into the desert toward the Red Sea. The Israelites are punished for complaining. The Lord told Moses and Aaron to give this message to the people of Israel. You sinful people have complained against me too many times. Now I swear by my own life that I will give you exactly what you wanted. You will die right here in the desert, and your dead bodies will cover the ground. You have insulted me, and none of you men who are over 20 years old will enter the land that I solemnly promised to give you as your own. Only Caleb and Joshua will go in. You were worried that your own children would be captured, but I, the Lord, will let them enter the land you have rejected. You will die here in the desert. Your children will wander around in this desert 40 years, suffering because of your sins, until all of you are dead. I will cruelly punish you every day for the next 40 years, 1 year for each day that the land was explored. You sinful people who ganged up against me will die here in the desert. 10 of the men sent to explore the land had brought back bad news and had made the people complain against the Lord. So he sent a deadly disease that killed those men, but he let Joshua and Caleb live. The Israelites fail to enter Canaan. The people of Israel were very sad after Moses gave them the Lord's message, so they got up early the next morning and got ready to head toward the hill country of Canaan. They said, "We were wrong to complain about the Lord. Let's go into the land that he promised us." But Moses replied, "You're disobeying the Lord. Your plan won't work, so don't even try it. The Lord refused to help you because you turned your backs on him. The Amalekites and the Canaanites are your enemies, and they will attack and defeat you." But the Israelites ignored Moses and marched toward the hill country, even though the sacred chest and Moses did not go with them. The Amalekites and the Canaanites came down from the hill country, defeated the Israelites, and chased them as far as the town of Hormah. Laws about sacrifices. Chapter 15. The Lord told Moses to give the Israelites the following laws about offering sacrifices. Bulls or rams or goats are the animals that you may burn on the altar as sacrifices to please me. You may also offer sacrifices voluntarily, or because you made a promise, or because they are part of your regular religious ceremonies. The smell of the smoke from these sacrifices is pleasing to me. If you sacrifice a young ram or goat, you must also offer 2 pounds of your finest flour mixed with a quart of olive oil as a grain sacrifice. A quart of wine must also be poured on the altar. And if the animal is a full-grown ram, you must offer 4 pounds of flour mixed with 1.5 quarts of olive oil. 1.5 quarts of wine must also be poured on the altar. The smell of this smoke is pleasing to me. If a bull is offered as a sacrifice to please me or to ask my blessing, you must offer 6 pounds of flour mixed with 2 quarts of olive oil. 2 quarts of wine must also be poured on the altar. The smell of this smoke is pleasing to me. If you are a native Israelite, you must obey these rules each time you offer a bull, a ram, or a goat as a sacrifice. And the foreigners who live among you must also follow these rules. This law will never change. I am the Lord, and I consider all people the same, whether they are Israelites or foreigners living among you. When you eat food in the land that I am giving you, remember to set aside some of it as an offering to me. From the first batch of bread dough that you make after each new grain harvest, make a loaf of bread and offer it to me, just as you offer grain. All your descendants must follow this law and offer part of the first batch of bread dough. The Lord also told Moses to tell the people what must be done if they ever disobey his laws. If all of you disobey one of my laws without meaning to, you must offer a bull as a sacrifice to please me, together with a grain sacrifice, a wine offering, and a goat as a sacrifice for sin. Then the priest will pray and ask me to forgive you. And since you did not mean to do wrong, and you offered sacrifices, the sin of everyone, both Israelites and foreigners among you, will be forgiven. But if one of you does wrong without meaning to, you must sacrifice a year-old female goat as a sacrifice for sin. The priest will then ask me to forgive you, and your sin will be forgiven. The law will be the same for anyone who does wrong without meaning to, whether an Israelite or a foreigner living among you. But if one of you does wrong on purpose, whether Israelite or foreigner, you have sinned against me by disobeying my laws. You will be sent away and will no longer live among the people of Israel. A man put to death for gathering firewood on the Sabbath. Once, while the Israelites were traveling through the desert, a man was caught gathering firewood on the Sabbath. He was taken to Moses, Aaron, and the rest of the community. But no one knew what to do with him, so he was not allowed to leave. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Tell the people to take that man outside the camp and stone him to death." So he was killed, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. The tassels on the people's clothes. The Lord told Moses to say to the people of Israel, "Sew tassels onto the bottom edge of your clothes, and tie a purple string to each tassel. These will remind you that you must obey my laws and teachings. And when you do, you will be dedicated to me, and won't follow your own sinful desires. I am the Lord your God who led you out of Egypt." Korah, Dathan, and Abiram lead a rebellion. Chapter 16. Korah, son of Izhar, was a Levite from the Kohathite clan. One day he called together Dathan, Abiram, and On, from the Reuben tribe, and the four of them decided to rebel against Moses. So they asked 250 respected Israelite leaders for their support, and together they went to Moses and Aaron and said, "Why do you think you're so much better than anyone else? We are part of the Lord's holy people, and he's with all of us. What makes you think you're the only ones in charge?" When Moses heard this, he knelt down to pray. Then he said to Korah and his followers, "Tomorrow morning the Lord will show us the person he has chosen to be his priest, and that man will faithfully serve him. Korah, now here is what you and your followers must do. Get some fire pans, fill them with coals and incense, and place them near the sacred tent. And the man the Lord chooses will be his priest. Korah, this time you Levites have gone too far. You know that the God of Israel has chosen you Levites from all Israel to serve him by being in charge of the sacred tent and by helping the community to worship in the proper way. What more do you want? The Lord has given you a special responsibility. And now, Korah, you think you should also be his priest. You and your followers have rebelled against the Lord, not against Aaron." Then Moses sent for Dathan and Abiram, but they sent back this message. We won't come. It's bad enough that you took us from our rich farmland in Egypt to let us die here in the desert. Now you also want to boss us around. You keep promising us rich farmlands with fertile fields and vineyards, but where are they? Stop trying to trick these people. No, we won't come to see you. Moses was very angry and said to the Lord, Don't listen to these men. I haven't done anything wrong to them. I haven't taken as much as a donkey. Then he said to Korah, Tomorrow you and your followers must go with Aaron to the Lord's sacred tent. Each of you take along your fire pan with incense in it and offer the incense to the Lord. The next day the men placed incense and coals in their fire pans and stood with Moses and Aaron at the entrance to the sacred tent. Meanwhile, Korah had convinced the rest of the Israelites to rebel against their two leaders. When that happened, the Lord appeared in all his glory and said to Moses and Aaron, Get away from the rest of the Israelites, so I can kill them right now. But the two men bowed down and prayed, Our God, you gave these people life. Why would you punish everyone here when only one man has sinned? The Lord answered Moses, Tell the people to stay away from the tents of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Moses walked over to Dathan and Abiram, and the other leaders of Israel followed. Then Moses warned the people, Get away from the tents of these sinful men. Don't touch anything that belongs to them, or you'll be wiped out. So everyone moved away from those tents, except Korah, Dathan, Abiram, and their families. Moses said to the crowd, The Lord has chosen me and told me to do these things. It wasn't my idea. And here's how you will know. If these men die a natural death, it means the Lord hasn't chosen me. But suppose the Lord does something that has never been done before. For example, what if a huge crack appears in the ground, and these men and their families fall into it and are buried alive, together with everything they own? Then you will know they have turned their backs on the Lord. As soon as Moses said this, the ground under the men opened up and swallowed them alive, together with their families and everything they owned. Then the ground closed back up, and they were gone. The rest of the Israelites heard their screams, so they ran off, shouting, We don't want that to happen to us. Suddenly the Lord sent a fire that burned up the 250 men who had offered incense to him. Then the Lord said to Moses, Tell Aaron's son Eleazar to take the fire pans from the smoldering fire and scatter the coals. The pans are now sacred, because they were used for offering incense to me. Have them hammered into a thin layer of bronze as a covering for the altar. Those men died because of their sin, and now their fire pans will become a warning for the rest of the community. Eleazar collected the pans and had them hammered into a thin layer of bronze as a covering for the altar, just as the Lord had told Moses. The pans were a warning to the Israelites that only Aaron's descendants would be allowed to offer incense to the Lord. Anyone else who tried would be punished, like Korah and his followers. The Israelites rebel and are punished. The next day, the people of Israel again complained against Moses and Aaron. The two of you killed some of the Lord's people. As the people crowded around them, Moses and Aaron turned toward the sacred tent, and the Lord appeared in his glory in the cloud covering the tent. So Moses and Aaron walked to the front of the tent, where the Lord said to them, Stand back! I am going to wipe out these Israelites once and for all. They immediately bowed down and prayed. Then Moses told Aaron, Grab your fire pan and fill it with hot coals from the altar. Put incense in it. Then quickly take it to where the people are and offer it to the Lord so they can be forgiven. The Lord is very angry, and people have already started dying." Aaron did exactly what he had been told. He ran over to the crowd of people and stood between the dead bodies and the people who were still alive. He placed the incense on the pan, then offered it to the Lord and asked him to forgive the people's sin. The disease immediately stopped spreading, and no one else died from it. But 14,700 Israelites were dead, not counting those who had died with Korah and his followers. Aaron walked back and stood with Moses at the sacred tent. Aaron's walking stick blooms and produces almonds. Chapter 17. The Lord told Moses, "Call together the 12 tribes of Israel, and tell the leader of each tribe to write his name on the walking stick he carries as a symbol of his authority. Make sure Aaron's name is written on the one from the Levi tribe. Then collect all the sticks. Place these sticks in the tent right in front of the sacred chest where I appear to you. I will then choose a man to be my priest, and his stick will sprout. After that happens, I won't have to listen to any more complaints about you." Moses told the people what the Lord had commanded, and they gave him the walking sticks from the 12 tribal leaders, including Aaron's from the Levi tribe. Moses took them and placed them in the Lord's sacred tent. The next day, when Moses went into the tent, flowers and almonds were already growing on Aaron's stick. Moses brought the 12 sticks out of the tent and showed them to the people. Each of the leaders found his own and took it. But the Lord told Moses, "Put Aaron's stick back. Let it stay near the sacred chest as a warning to anyone who might think about rebelling. If these people don't stop their grumbling about me, I will wipe them out." Moses did what he was told. The Israelites cried out to Moses, "We're done for and doomed if we even get near the sacred tent." The Duties of the Priests and Levites. Chapter 18. The Lord said to Aaron, "You, your sons, and the other Levites of the Kohath clan are responsible for what happens at the sacred tent, and you and your sons will be responsible for what the priests do. The Levites are your relatives and are here to help you in your service at the tent. You must see that they perform their duties. But if they go near any of the sacred objects or the altar, all of you will die. No one else is allowed to take care of the sacred tent or to do anything connected with it. Follow these instructions so I won't become angry and punish the Israelites ever again. I alone chose the Levites from all the other tribes to belong to me, and I have given them to you as your helpers. But only you and your sons can serve as priests at the altar and in the most holy place. Your work as priests is a gift from me, and anyone else who tries to do that work must be put to death." The Priest's Share of Offerings Given to the Lord. The Lord said to Aaron, "I have put you in charge of the sacred gifts and sacrifices that the Israelites bring to me. And from now on, you, your sons, and your descendants will receive part of the sacrifices for sin, as well as part of the grain sacrifices, and the sacrifices to make things right. Your share of these sacrifices will be the parts not burned on the altar. Since these things are sacred, they must be eaten near the sacred tent, but only men are allowed to eat them. You will also receive part of the special gifts and offerings that the Israelites bring to me, Any member of your family who is clean and acceptable for worship can eat these things. For example, when the Israelites bring me the first batches of oil, wine, and grain, you can have the best parts of those gifts. And the first part of the crops from their fields and vineyards also belongs to you. The people will offer this to me, then anyone in your family who is clean may have some of it. Everything in Israel that has been completely dedicated to me will now belong to you. The firstborn son in every Israelite family, as well as the firstborn males of their flocks and herds, belong to me. But a firstborn son and every firstborn donkey must be bought back from me. The price for a firstborn son who is at least 1 month old will be 5 pieces of silver, weighed according to the official standards. However, all firstborn cattle, sheep, and goats belong to me and cannot be bought back. Splatter their blood on the altar and send their fat up in smoke, so I can smell it and be pleased. You are allowed to eat the meat of those animals, just as you can eat the choice ribs and the right hind leg of the special sacrifices. From now on, the sacred offerings that the Israelites give to me will belong to you, your sons, and your daughters. This is my promise to you and your descendants, and it will never change. You will not receive any land in Israel as your own. I am the Lord, and I will give you whatever you need. What the Levites receive. The Lord said to Aaron, 10% of the Israelites' crops and 1 out of every 10 of their newborn animals belong to me. But I am giving all this to the Levites as their pay for the work they do at the sacred tent. They are the only ones allowed to work at the tent, and they must not let anyone else come near it. Those who do must be put to death, and the Levites will also be punished. This law will never change. Since the Levites won't be given any land in Israel as their own, they will be given the crops and newborn animals that the Israelites offer to me. What the Levites must give. The Lord told Moses to say to the Levites, when you receive from the people of Israel 10% of their crops and newborn animals, you must offer a tenth of that to me. Just as the Israelites give me part of their grain and wine, you must set aside part of what you receive as an offering to me. That amount must then be given to Aaron, so the best of what you receive will be mine. After you have dedicated the best parts to me, you can eat the rest, just as the Israelites eat part of their grain and wine after offering them to me. Your share may be eaten anywhere by anyone in your family, because it is your pay for working at the sacred tent. You won't be punished for eating it, as long as you have already offered the best parts to me. The gifts and sacrifices brought by the people must remain sacred, and if you eat any part of them before they are offered to me, you will be put to death. The ceremony to wash away sin. Chapter 19. The Lord gave Moses and Aaron the following law. The people of Israel must bring Moses a reddish-brown cow that has nothing wrong with it and that has never been used for plowing. Moses will give it to Eleazar, the priest. Then it will be led outside the camp and killed while Eleazar watches. He will dip his finger into the blood and sprinkle it 7 times in the direction of the sacred tent. Then the whole cow, including its skin, meat, blood, and insides, must be burned. A priest is to throw a stick of cedar wood, a hyssop branch, and a piece of red yarn into the fire. After the ceremony, the priest is to take a bath and wash his clothes. Only then can he go back into the camp, but he remains unclean and unfit for worship until evening. The man who burned the cow must also wash his clothes and take a bath, but he is also unclean until evening. A man who isn't unclean must collect the ashes of the burnt cow and store them outside the camp in a clean place. The people of Israel can mix these ashes with the water used in the ceremony to wash away sin. The man who collects the ashes must wash his clothes, but will remain unclean until evening. This law must always be obeyed by the people of Israel and the foreigners living among them. What must be done after touching a dead body? The Lord said, "If you touch a dead body, you will be unclean for 7 days. But if you wash with the water mixed with the cow's ashes on the 3rd day, and again on the 7th day, you will be clean and acceptable for worship. You must wash yourself on those days. If you don't, you will remain unclean." Suppose you touch a dead body, but refuse to be made clean by washing with the water mixed with ashes. You will be guilty of making my sacred tent unclean, and will no longer belong to the people of Israel. If someone dies in a tent while you are there, you will be unclean for 7 days, and anyone who later enters the tent will also be unclean. Any open jar in the tent is unclean. If you touch the body of someone who was killed or who died of old age, or if you touch a human bone or a grave, you will be unclean for 7 days. Before you can be made clean, someone who is clean must take some of the ashes from the burnt cow and stir them into a pot of spring water. That same person must dip a hyssop branch in the water and ashes, then sprinkle it on the tent and everything in it, including everyone who was inside. If you have touched a human bone, a grave, or a dead body, you must be sprinkled with that water. If this is done on the 3rd day and on the 7th day, you will be clean. Then, after you take a bath and wash your clothes, you can worship that evening. If you are unclean and refuse to be made clean by washing with the water mixed with ashes, you will be guilty of making my sacred tent unclean, and you will no longer belong to the people of Israel. These laws will never change. The man who sprinkled the water and the ashes on you when you were unclean must also wash his clothes, and whoever touches this water is unclean until evening. When you are unclean, everything you touch becomes unclean, and anyone who touches you will be unclean until evening. Water from a rock. Chapter 20. The people of Israel arrived at the Zin Desert during the 1st month and set up camp near the town of Kadesh. It was there that Miriam died and was buried. The Israelites had no water, so they went to Moses and Aaron and complained, "Moses, we'd be better off if we had died along with the others in front of the Lord's sacred tent. You brought us into this desert, and now we and our livestock are going to die. Egypt was better than this horrible place. At least there we had grain and figs and grapevines and pomegranates. But now we don't even have any water." Moses and Aaron went to the entrance to the sacred tent, where they bowed down. The Lord appeared to them in all of his glory and said, "Moses, get your walking stick. Then you and Aaron call the people together and command that rock to give you water. That's how you will provide water for the people of Israel and their livestock." Moses obeyed and took his stick from the sacred tent. After he and Aaron had gathered the people around the rock, he said, "Look, you rebellious people, and you will see water flow from this rock." He raised his stick in the air and struck the rock 2 times. At once, water gushed from the rock, and the people and their livestock had water to drink. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, Because you refused to believe in my power, these people did not respect me. And so, you will not be the ones to lead them into the land I have promised." The Israelites had complained against the Lord, and he had shown them his holy power by giving them water to drink. So they named the place Meribah, which means complaining. Israel isn't allowed to go through Edom. Moses sent messengers from Israel's camp near Kadesh with this message for the king of Edom. "We are Israelites, your own relatives, and we are sure you have heard the terrible things that have happened to us. Our ancestors settled in Egypt and lived there a long time. But later the Egyptians were cruel to us, and when we begged our Lord for help, he answered our prayer and brought us out of that land. Now we are camped at the border of your territory, near the town of Kadesh. Please let us go through your country. We won't go near your fields and vineyards, and we won't drink any water from your wells. We will stay on the main road until we leave your territory." But the Edomite king answered, "No, I won't let you go through our country, and if you try, we will attack you." Moses sent back this message, "We promise to stay on the main road, and if any of us or our livestock drink your water, we will pay for it. We just want to pass through." But the Edomite king insisted, "You can't go through our land." Then Edom sent out its strongest troops to keep Israel from passing through its territory. So the Israelites had to go in another direction. Aaron dies. After the Israelites had left Kadesh and had gone as far as Mount Hor, on the Edomite border, the Lord said, "Aaron, this is where you will die. You and Moses disobeyed me at Meribah, and so you will not enter the land I promised the Israelites. Moses, go with Aaron and his son Eleazar to the top of the mountain. Then take Aaron's priestly robe from him and place it on Eleazar. Aaron will die there." Moses obeyed, and everyone watched as he and Aaron and Eleazar walked to the top of Mount Hor. Moses then took the priestly robe from Aaron and placed it on Eleazar. Aaron died there. When Moses and Eleazar came down, the people knew that Aaron had died, and they mourned his death for 30 days. Israel defeats the Canaanites at Hormah. Chapter 21. The Canaanite king of Arad lived in the southern desert of Canaan, and when he heard that the Israelites were on their way to the village of Atharim, he attacked and took some of them hostage. The Israelites prayed, "Our Lord, if you will help us defeat these Canaanites, we will completely destroy their towns and everything in them to show that they belong to you." The Lord answered their prayer and helped them wipe out the Canaanite army and completely destroy their towns. That's why one of the towns is named Hormah, which means destroyed place. Moses makes a bronze snake. The Israelites had to go around the territory of Edom, so when they left Mount Hor, they headed south toward the Red Sea. But along the way, the people became so impatient that they complained against God and said to Moses, "Did you bring us out of Egypt just to let us die in the desert? There's no water out here, and we can't stand this awful food." Then the Lord sent poisonous snakes that bit and killed many of them. Some of the people went to Moses and admitted, "It was wrong of us to insult you and the Lord. Now please ask him to make these snakes go away." Moses prayed, and the Lord answered, "Make a snake out of bronze and place it on top of a pole, Anyone who gets bitten can look at the snake and won't die. Moses obeyed the Lord, and all of those who looked at the bronze snake lived, even though they had been bitten by the poisonous snakes. Israel's journey to Moab. As the Israelites continued their journey to Canaan, they camped at Oboth. Then at Ai Abarim, in the desert east of Moab, and then in the Zered Gorge. After that, they crossed the Arnon River Gorge and camped in the Moabite desert bordering Amorite territory. The Arnon was the border between the Moabites and the Amorites. A song in the Book of the Lord's Battles mentions the town of Waheb, with its creeks in the territory of Sufa. It also mentions the Arnon River, with its valleys that lie alongside the Moabite border and extend to the town of Ar. From the Arnon, the Israelites went to the well near the town of Beer, where the Lord had said to Moses, "Call the people together, and I will give them water to drink." That's also the same well the Israelites sang about in this song. "Let's celebrate. The well has given us water. With their royal scepters, our leaders pointed out where to dig the well." The Israelites left the desert and camped near the town of Mattana, then at Nahaliel, and then at Bamoth. Finally, they reached Moabite territory, where they camped near Mount Pisgah, in a valley overlooking the desert north of the Dead Sea. Israel defeats King Sihon the Amorite. The Israelites sent this message to King Sihon of the Amorites. "Please let us pass through your territory. We promise to stay away from your fields and vineyards, and we won't drink any water from your wells. As long as we're in your land, we won't get off the main road." But Sihon refused to let Israel travel through his land. Instead, he called together his entire army and marched into the desert to attack Israel near the town of Jahaz. Israel defeated them and took over the Amorite territory, from the Arnon River Gorge in the south to the Jabbok River Gorge in the north. Beyond the Jabbok was the territory of the Ammonites, who were much stronger than Israel. The Israelites settled in the Amorite towns, including the capital city of Heshbon, with its surrounding villages. King Sihon had ruled from Heshbon after defeating the Moabites and taking over their land north of the Arnon River Gorge. That's why the Amorites had written this poem about Heshbon. "Come and rebuild Heshbon, King Sihon's capital city. His armies marched out like fiery flames, burning down the town of Ar and destroying the hills along the Arnon River. You Moabites are done for. Your god, Chemosh, deserted your people. They were captured, taken away by King Sihon the Amorite. We completely defeated Moab. The towns of Heshbon and Dibon, of Nopha and Medeba, are ruined and gone." After the Israelites had settled in the Amorite territory, Moses sent some men to explore the town of Jazer. Later, the Israelites captured the villages surrounding it and forced out the Amorites who lived there. Israel defeats King Og of Bashan. The Israelites headed toward the region of Bashan, where King Og ruled, and he led his entire army to Edrei to meet Israel in battle. The Lord said to Moses, "Don't be afraid of Og. I will help you defeat him and his army, just as you did King Sihon, who ruled in Heshbon. Og's territory will be yours." So the Israelites wiped out Og, his family, and his entire army. There were no survivors. Then Israel took over the land of Bashan. Chapter 22. Israel moved from there to the hills of Moab, where they camped across the Jordan River from the town of Jericho. King Balak of Moab hires Balaam to curse Israel. When King Balak of Moab and his people heard how many Israelites there were and what they had done to the Amorites, he and the Moabites were terrified and panicked. They said to the Midianite leaders, "That bunch of Israelites will wipe out everything in sight, like a bull eating grass in a field." So King Balak sent a message to Balaam, son of Beor, who lived among his relatives in the town of Pethor, near the Euphrates River. It said, "I need your help. A huge group of people has come here from Egypt and settled near my territory. They are too powerful for us to defeat, so would you come and place a curse on them? Maybe then we can run them off. I know that anyone you bless will be successful, but anyone you curse will fail." The leaders of Moab and Midian left and took along money to pay Balaam for his work. When they got to his house, they gave him Balak's message. "Spend the night here," Balaam replied, "and tomorrow I will tell you the Lord's answer." So the officials stayed at his house. During the night, God asked Balaam, "Who are these people at your house?" "They are messengers from King Balak of Moab," Balaam answered. "He sent them to ask me to go to Moab and place a curse on the people who have come there from Egypt. They have settled everywhere around him, and he wants to run them off." But God replied, "Don't go with Balak's messengers. I have blessed those people who have come from Egypt, so don't curse them." The next morning,